Heads, and welcome to The League, exploring the League of Legends lore from A to Z. My name is Rebecca.
And I'm John.
My name is Mark.
I totally almost messed up the opening.
I couldn't see it in your face.
My eyes, this like panic just happened. Anyway,
muscle today memory we're talking about...
It did. I think it did, honestly. But today we're talking about the Iron Revenant Mordekaiser, who was released February 24th, 2010.
Super old.
Master of Metal himself.
Dump truck Mordekaiser.
I have a note to myself that I'm not allowed to make any dump truck references.
What? That's the whole point of Mordekaiser.
Thank you for keeping it reined in. Come on.
Yeah, oh, thank you.
I didn't. It was that and Mordekaiser roll is all I could think about.
Well, that's gold right there. You're going to have to slip that in a few times.
Well, I wrote him as, I refer to him as Mordekaiser Roll in my notes.
Excellent.
Is that what you call his butt? His buns? His Mordekaiser Roll?
Oh, his Mordekaiser Rolls.
Freshly baked.
Viego's got hot cross buns and he's got Mordekaiser Rolls.
Where's the bakery skin line for these guys? Come on.
It writes itself. It really does.
Not well, but yeah. It writes itself.
So on the universe page, Mordekaiser has just a bio and a short story, which was really refreshing after Misfortune.
Oh, it was so nice. Yeah.
For sure. And lovely old concept art. That's like the most
Oh, I missed that.
Generic Death Knight looking thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was, it just looks like Sion, really. Like old Sion.
Not even, because at least old Sion, I disagree. I think old Sion was more of a zombie, I think.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the old champs were fairly basic concepts, you know. There were a couple of unique. I feel like Annie's pretty unique, but yeah, there's a lot of army man. And like,
what a phoenix, but ice?
Yeah, pretty much right. Medusa!
That's true. And then a bunch of ninjas.
Bunch of ninjas. Yep.
Yeah. All right, I'll jump into his bio. I guess his bio is shockingly long. Mm-hmm. I think I took more time on it than the short story, to be honest.
Frankly, okay. Yeah.
But Mordekaiser was originally known as San Azul, Uzal, San Uzal.
I read it in my Uzal? Head as Uzal.
Uzal.
Yeah, I go with okay. Uzal.
All right, so San Uzal was a normal, murderous warlord in the Wildlands. I don't know what the Wildlands are, but that's what they call them.
They're the lands before they were tamed.
Oh, damn. Okay, thanks. I mean, we know he ends up in Noxus, so it was like before Noxus. I don't know. Anyway, he killed lots of people and settlements, believing he would get him access to the God's Table in the Hall of Bones. I'm very curious if other people follow this religion, because I've heard no one else interested in this.
It's basically their version of Valhalla. I feel like Olaf's got something similar.
Oh, okay.
Probably. This is all like a really long time ago too, right?
That's true. So, yeah. Religions die and whatnot. Yeah. Anyway, but when he died, he found himself just in like a gray wasteland with lots of creepy whispering and souls just kind of floating around. He was there for a while until he eventually began to learn the language of all the whispering around him. It was called Ak-Nun? Ak-Nun?
Ak-Nun? Yeah, sure.
Ak-Nun. Sure. A language never spoken by the living. He learned how to use this to speak to people between realms and promise strength to anyone who would help him get out of the gray mist place. And that's what I call that place from now on.
That's good.
I don't think it had
the
a name.
The Phantom Zone.
Ooh, nice. So a coven of sorcerers eventually brought him back. They bound his spirit to metal armor that resembled his old armor. And when he woke up, he just killed all the sorcerers instead of keeping his promise. Super mean. And then he spoke his new name in Ak-Nun Mordekaiser Roll. That part's really important.
It's so, very important.
He started murdering people again and conquering and all that. He created his Mace Nightfall, raised the Immortal Bastion, which held some kind of secrets about the realms beyond. They're kind of vague about it.
Magic.
Yeah. It looks like a throne, but also there's secrets. Eventually, he was defeated by Noxi tribes, and some people from his inner circle betrayed him. It's kind of vague, though. They severed his soul from his armor and sealed the empty shell away. I don't know why they didn't just melt it. Was it unmeltable? Like,
because you know, sure. you gotta give all bad guys a chance to come back.
Come back.
Yeah, fighting chance, right? Keep it fair. Oxford rules.
I feel like his armor wasn't special anymore once he was out of it, so they're like, "Oh, we'll keep it though."
Yeah, this was
this looks nice over there.
I figured it was the Black Rose.
Initial Black Rose.
Because we already did LeBlanc. Anyway, of course, Mordekaiser role planned for this, and back in the Grey Mist, place all the souls of the people he murdered or floating around and always will be because of dark sorcery or whatever. So he's planning to build a new empire in this Dark Mist area. It's been centuries. Noxus is now the Immortal Bastion, where people still feel fear. Mordekaiser will return. What did he name his afterworld? Was that what it was called?
Oh,
I meant to write that down. I forgot.
Something or other.
Okay. Wow. It was more. Whatever. But yeah, that's what he's calling it. He's got his own little throne there now. So why does he want to come back? I don't know. It's not like he got something good going for you.
Well, because he wants to control the living as well as the dead. That's actually one of his in-game quotes, I think.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Oh, we forgot about impressions.
Oh, right.
I also forgot to look up. Why am I the one who remembered? Why did I remind you?
You had it out. You had it. We were home out. Free.
The fuck does Mordekaiser sound like?
Generic deep voice.
That's what I assumed.
Deep voice reverb filter.
Okay, do you have a quote written down and I can just guess?
Yep.
Oh, God.
So I've got two of them. You know, like I always do.
Okay. None shall escape me. Is that what he sounds like?
God, it's
uncanny. Yeah. Someone throw a bunch of effects on that, and I'm sure it will be the Mordekaiser. Oh, he's got one when he kills someone, he just goes, messy.
I like that.
That sounds like something that would be in like a Doom game after he kills someone, or like a Duke Nukem.
It's like a Duke Nukem, yeah.
Soon, nightfall shall feast.
Oh, that was good. I pretty assume.
It's as good as I'm going to get.
Yeah.
Nightfall, by the way, is his mace, in case you were unaware.
Yes, I did say he created Nightfall. Yeah. I said that already, John.
My bad.
You don't have faith in my bio. Is it the whiskey?
Maybe. I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. With Mordekaiser, seems like a bunch of hubbub about nothing. Not only did they already beat him once, but now they've got metal benders and shit that they didn't have before. They can do it again. Fuck it. I think they're scared over nothing.
Do they have metal benders?
He kind of has gone down twice. Yeah, he kind of has gone down twice. I mean, the thing is, the way the bio is written, especially, like, he sounds really powerful, so I think it would almost be kind of a shame if Rel was like such a silver bullet. Right? I'm sure you'd have some sort of like Rise of the Sentinels moment where like, oh, she binds him to his armor and then they have to fight him, and like that's how you can make him like killable at all. Right? But
yeah,
he has gone down twice.
Yeah. I mean, now all he has now that he didn't have before, Army of the Undead. You know who else had an Army of the Undead and went down like a fucking chump?
Hot cross buns.
Hot cross buns himself.
I never am super into stories like this, which is generic, like, I want to conquer the world villains aren't really for me. I understand them, and I'm not opposed to them, but I don't find them that interesting, personally. So,
No, for sure, right? Like, this is not... It's not Brand or anything like that, where it's like, you can really get into them as a character. I think it could be just a fun villain. Like, this is like a really fun, like, classic fantasy, like Super Sauron, right? Like, and even in his design, right? That's obviously a lot of what the inspiration, I think, draws from. But they, like you said, they can work, and he makes a nice, intimidating, like, threat. The problem, I think, is that he's just another on the list. They're just, like, going down the, like, I don't know, man. I don't know if you're on this world-ending threat list. Like, check, it's Mordekaiser. It should be right there.
No. Oh shit, was this your week? Hold on, let me grab my planner. Oh shit, yeah. Oh, this is void week. That's my bad. I'll be back next week.
This is awkward. There's only one of us allowed. So it's crowded, right?
It is very crowded, which we've definitely talked about before, and it always warrants a mention because it's very crowded. But just compared to the void, what a chump. I don't know.
I also feel like I'm starting to lose track of the amount of champions who died and just decided, maybe I won't die. Yeah. So they didn't.
Where did he go?
Yeah, that's a good question.
All it takes is a little bit of belief, and you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps and avoid death.
All these fucking ghosts, these weak ghosts.
Right? Who was it we were doing? I say who, because I'm sure there's a number that fall under it, where... Like, yeah, positive mental attitude was like could literally actually like stop them from dying or some crazy shit. Who wasn't
Mordekaiser?
At
the very least, Karthus.
Maybe it's
you know what? Now that we're talking about that, that's really fucking annoying. I'd really like more of an explanation for, like, I just didn't want to die real bad. Like, I need a reason why they didn't. Like, Maokai had a reason. He drank all the water of life. And it kept him alive through something that should have killed him. I accept that. That sounds good. And it's still, like, still damaged him for life, you know? Like, he's still
ornery.
Yeah, he's still all grumpy now. Not the outwardly.
Well, you know, just if you just believe in the heart of light and Kingdom Hearts, you know, even if you become a nobody, you know, your soul can push through. I mean, you know what's funny? Is he's got four old bios. Yeah, which is interesting to me. And the most recent one, I think, has a better handling of it, because in that one, he's revived by sorcerers, but it seems like he kind of set it up like, hey, if I die, y'all come do this stupid ritual and bring me back.
Okay.
And just, you know, promise them, fuck like, me golden on this riches one. And shit. Yeah, like, this is super important, guys. Don't space. Hey, pay attention. But rather than him being in this weird shadow realm or whatever, I think he just, like, died, and he had, contingency plan. He's a really good contingency planner.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I guess is seen in this one, because it's like, oh, they killed him, but he knew this would happen.
Yeah.
I feel like what we're seeing here is that they had him in the Shadow Isles, and then they wanted to kind of pull him out of the Shadow Isles, and I think some of the lore has been got some spackle over it to kind of, like, get him into Noxus a bit more.
Maybe there was a plan for something else or something like that, because they do talk about different realms existing, you know, around the Immortal Bastion. So maybe it was a matter of location where he died. That, I don't know, maybe people who die in this area don't move on in the same way that other people do. And I don't know, his strength of will kept him from being one of those discordant whispers, is how they talked about the other souls.
It's quite possible.
Where are all the good people who this happens to? It's always villains that will themselves back to life.
There's just that one in the Shadow Isles.
That one Ledros.
Yeah, good old Ledros.
Tooling around.
Holding the hammer down for the good guys.
And yeah, I mean, I always like that little trope of, like, oh, just through sheer force of will, someone, like, overcomes, you know, death or some other, like, physical limitations and things like that. But they do it a lot, exactly, it's like you're saying.
Yeah.
And it loses, it stops being cool after, like, the fourth person does it, you know what I mean?
It's like in Supernatural. The first time someone died and came back, you were like, damn, that was awesome. And then it happens, like, 19 more times. And then it never matters anytime anyone dies in that show.
Right? Like, maybe we should just set up a revolving door to the entrance of Hetpool, because right? We're getting in and out all day.
It's easy breezy.
Interesting. <Huh. sighs> Yeah. I think also when it's talking about the Immortal Bastion and secrets, I assume that's just trying to, like, give some hint that whatever is in there is what Swain is using. Like the demon Rom, I think, or whoever it is.
Because
that's also all about secrets and shit, and that's where Swain has like, he went in there and got some power, right?
Okay, gave him some birds.
Got some birds.
Some bird power.
Went into the orrery.
Yeah, I like you said, it's kind of long. It feels long. It's not like terribly long in terms of word count, but
oh, it's not.
It's only like 800 words, which is longer, but. We did someone who was 1,000 really recently.
Yeah, just I was Maokai because I just edited it. And that was a good bio that I liked, and it didn't feel like 1,000 words. I mean, I shouldn't say important. This isn't a bad bio. Like, I don't want to be too harsh, but it wasn't as creative as Maokai. It didn't pull me in as much.
Yeah. This is kind of the generic fantasy bad guy. If you've ever read a fantasy book, it is a vanquished evil that has returned from the death to take over the world again for some vague reason of I want to control.
It's Ganondorf, you know?
It's every bad guy in every fantasy book you've ever read.
Yeah, he's super like lich or like demi-lich type as well. Even in his old lore, he's got a lot of that going on, which I think can be fun to dabble in. But like we were saying, he starts to become kind of background noise. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little bit of a shame.
Yeah. I guess if we just try to think of it in terms of just a threat to Noxus, I guess, rather than a worldwide one or a Runeterran-wide one, maybe that's more interesting. I'm more interested in his ties to LeBlanc, and I like the idea that LeBlanc would outsmart Mordekaiser in some way.
She's trying. Got all these academies set up, trying to do her thing. They just keep fucking falling apart. She can't hold on to teachers nowadays.
Yeah. I also, you said, Mark, that it would be like a disappointment, or it would be like anticlimactic, I guess, if Rell was just immediately Silver Bullet. That would be fucking hilarious, though. If fucking Mordekaiser finally comes back, he's like, I got the army of the dead, and then he's just gone because Rell's like, bye, bitch. This fucking 16-year-old girl just fucking annihilates him in a second.
It just doesn't.
It wouldn't work, but it would be funny.
It would be an interesting decision, if nothing else. Yeah.
I don't think they would do that, obviously.
I'd be interested to see Riot like make some interesting decisions in that way, maybe. For sure.
All right.
So who wants to handle the final reign?
God, is that what that was called?
Oh.
Michael Yee Chao.
And it's reign as in R-E-I-G-N. It did sound like a emo song. The final reign.
Final reign. Took me a minute. I can run this through. It's pretty. I think, like you said, the bio is maybe even more complex.
Yeah.
This one is kind of like bouncing between Mordekaiser as we assume he is now in his ghost realm, which I don't remember the name of. I know you said it.
No, I just called it the Gray Mist area.
Oh, okay. I thought. John
oh, what he calls it? I thought he called it Afterworld, but I'm not sure.
It's got an actual name. Sorry, Midna Ragnun.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Yeah.
Can't believe you remember that. It rolls off the tongue.
Right? You know? He's in his bone zone is where he's at, right? And he's... The modern current is like he's going through his... This like a... It's like a castle-type structure that he has built in the Death Zone and just admiring his work and loving it. And then having sort of flashbacks to different points in like his history, like when he first died. And, you know, he showed up to the Death Zone like, oh, yeah... Where's that hall of bones that I was promised? And then kind of realizing there's nothing here. It's just empty. Nothing. And just kind of talking a little bit about the progress of his sort of mental, you know, and just through sheer being pissed off about, you know, not having anything, managing to stick around, I guess. And then it also shows his first revival, I guess it is, where he kind of... It's in this little ritual chamber, and it's, like, soaked in blood, and there's one last sorcerer alive who's trying to, like... Stop him from getting something that's got, like, also a super generic fantasy name, like the Tome of Secrets or something like that.
The Mordenomicon. What exactly.
Mordenomicon. Shut up. That's what he calls his diary.
I love that. I remember what it's called. The Tomb of Spirits. Tome of Spirits. That's what it's called. Like I said, super forgettable. And the mage is trying to like destroy it before Mordekaiser can get it. But he's made of metal and he's standing in front of it. And the you know magical fire does nothing. And he squishes the guy with his big mace. and it cuts back to him in the modern, I guess, day in his throne room. And he's kind of admiring his throne. And then he smashes it. And I guess the thing that it kind of reveals is that everything, in addition to all the spirits who are like standing at attention, who are his kind of generals, even like the structures themselves are also like made out of the spirits of people he's killed, like it's goo or clay, like he's making shit out of them. And he just kind of stands and surveys his kingdom. He's like, I'm ready. And he's sitting there like in a buffering like loading screen for the next 3 or 4 years or whatever, waiting to actually go do his evil shenanigans.
You know, waiting for the void to have their turn.
I do like it. The last line is, and so his final reign begins. And I feel like there should be massive, like, a massive asterisk on begins.
Soon. Yeah.
Eventually.
Give us a few other world-ending events first and some games, and then we'll remember Mordekaiser's role exists.
His reign follows the same timetable as Riot improving the servers in, like, 2011.
Gonna get a new client, guys. It's gonna be good.
Soon, guys. Soon.
Yeah. Yeah, he is, like, the poster boy for Soon TM.
Yeah.
So he had, like, he built everything in this kingdom. He built that throne for the sole purpose of smashing it without fucking using it.
I guess.
He's real bored in there, you know?
This upset me, like, Silco lighting up a cigar and then putting it out immediately in, like, what was it? Fucking episode 7? It upset me as much as that did.
Which is apparently a lot.
A lot.
John doesn't like things being wasted.
It's fine. They go back into the soul goo that he can use to build a cool castle later. I mean, we don't know that he never used it. Maybe he used it, like, he made it. Like, who knows when that throne got made? And he made it once, like, before when he had first died. But now he's dead again, and he's looking at it, and he's like, I don't need this fucking shit. And maybe he builds it every day and smashes it every day.
Maybe he's like a toddler, and he made a building block tower. I was gonna say, took joy in smashing it down.
Yeah.
So I feel like with all of this soul shit, like, I'd really expect souls to be a bigger part of his gameplay.
You know, I mean, that's something you see a lot in the old stuff, too, is that idea of, like, that's a through line that you see even in all the way through his original lore, is that, like, they like this idea of him being this sort of general who's amassing an army of undead and souls, etc. But A, they changed his ult because the old one, like, you know, was fucking broken all the time and whatever. And B, I think a big issue Mordekaiser runs into is that Viego showed up and Viego stole a lot of the thunder that you can kind of see Mordekaiser. Like, imagine a world where Viego had never happened or never existed in Mordekaiser. Like, he's in his own little unique space more. But with Viego, it's like, they're kind of like fighting over the spotlight, and unfortunately Riot really likes one of them, I think.
Yeah, that's how one I feel of them's about got it. Abs, and the other one's a big metal man, so
he's got metal abs. His Kaiser rolls, but on his belly.
it is a shame.
Hecarim's got kind of those vibes too, I think, as well. Not that he controls the spirits and, like, the Shadow Isles, but he definitely has people who follow him.
Yeah, he's another person who dies frequently in the mist.
Yeah,
through sheer force of will, it's like, I'm not going to be part of the mist.
I don't get to die.
Oh, great, another one. Yeah, you can go join the rabble. There's a bunch of. Yeah, I mean, at least with Hecarim, they show up when he ults, which is something.
Yeah,
right? With Mordekaiser, it's like nothing. I guess he takes him to the bone zone now, but...
Yeah, doesn't he also, like, take, like, if he kills someone in the bone zone, doesn't he get something of those,
he does get,
like, bonuses. Bonus shit. Yeah. There's just not a visual
thing. Which I guess kind of makes sense, because I don't think it's explicitly said anywhere in his lore, it was confirmed in, like, an AMA somewhere that his armor is another one of those things that is, like, part iron and part souls. So... You know, in theory, when he kills someone in the bone zone, he does,
he kind of
thematically get stronger. So
he gives them the big suck, and their soul, like, gets pulled into the.
He gives them the big suck in his bone zone, and
y'all.
You know, that's what happens.
Them's just facts.
Sure.
Yeah, the story was. I mean, it really didn't give us anything new, is kind of how I felt about it. I don't know.
There were a few moments I liked. Like, I did like the initial when he's first dead, and he's like, excellent. I can't wait for, like, the Valkyries or whoever to show me, you know, to my place at the table. And the kind of, like, dawning realization of, like, this is bullshit.
This place this sucks.
No cable.
Right?
Right. It's someone going camping for the first time. So what, do I just sit here? What? I don't understand.
I'm tired of fucking fishing. I want to. But I also like there's a little bit where the sorcerer, like, he kind of isn't. It's like showing the end of that ritual that they fucked up or whatever. The Tome of Secrets thing was, you know, stupid. But the image of, like, the sorcerer trying to stop him, and he's, like, casting this magic that's so powerful, it's, like, causing his skin to, like, split, and, like, his teeth are cracking as they're, like, just trying to stop Mordekaiser and doing nothing. It's like, I kind of like that image a little bit.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Makes him seem stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. But for the most part, yeah, like you said, there's not really a lot of insight into the Mordekaiser as a character. I guess I like that he's making shit out of souls. That's a little more interesting, or like something other than just having them be general thralls. So, I don't know. It's something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, so Mordekaiser doesn't have a bunch of, like, a lot of stories, but he is mentioned in a lot of stories. Like, he shows up in a ton of people's short stories.
Yeah.
Actually, so I have a list of the ones he's mentioned in, but I did also separately want to talk about the Vhagar bio by Michael Luo, because, like, half of that shit is Mordekaiser.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I also wanted to talk about that one.
Is he baby Mordekaiser? Is he trying to be Mordekaiser?
Well, I mean, he is now. So, yeah, just the basic overview is that, I mean, you know, Vhagar was a sorcerer. He felt like he had learned as much as he could where he was, so he decided to join a group of Noxai mages to increase his power. And then when Mord took over, he singled Vhagar out and abducted him, because he's like, oh, you know, Yordles have pretty unique magic. I'm going to take him. So he scooped up Vhagar in his hand and then killed all the other mages that he had been practicing with. And then he bound Vhagar to the mortal plane, so he couldn't go back to Bandle City at all. So he was just kind of, like, on his own, which I guess is, like, big torture for Yordles. And then forced him to do dark magic against his will for, like, his entire life, which, as you know, for Yordles is a very long time. He was miserable the whole time he was doing it, though. And eventually the dark magic twisted him. And he couldn't remember who he was anymore or how he got there anymore. And then when Mordekaiser was defeated, he was just like, I guess I'll just go do dark shit now. So he, you know, went to be a little mini Mordekaiser. Except, you know, he fucks up and accidentally does good stuff all the time. He doesn't quite have the hang of it.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah, I almost read that because they talk about, like, he leaves to not only get his, like, more power, but he's also kind of doing it in the wake of the Darken Wars, I want to say, as a way to try and help people and things, and he's, like, trying to help inspire these Noxians that he's with, so he's altruistic at the start. So I almost read the ending as, like, maybe there's a little bit of it kind of left at the core of him, even if, like, it's all wrapped up in evil Yordle. That being said, I didn't know how I felt about that. Maybe we'll save it for the actual Vhagar episode.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, I didn't realize I knew they had some interaction. I didn't know it was, like you said, Mordekaiser's just all throughout that fucking thing.
Yeah. So I mean, Mord knows all about Yordles, which is already more than a lot of people in this world.
Yeah.
It's true.
Knows enough about their unique properties, too.
Although it could have been, like, when Mordekaiser was originally alive, Yordles were well known.
Maybe, yeah.
Because they seem to have backtracked on a lot of the stuff they've decided about Yordles anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was still in Glamour's, where the hotness. Because I think there's a line in there where it says Mordekaiser, like, saw him for what he was, as if he could see through it, or something like that.
That makes sense.
So, yeah. Whether or not that's, you know, who knows if that'll still stick around if they ever get back to Vhagar. But I do think it was interesting. He shows up, I think when we were doing Elise, in her bio, it talks about how, like, they sent Elise to the Shadow Isles to go try and find, essentially, Mordekaiser's skull, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, which they didn't ever find, but I thought that was interesting. Or no, go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say, who knows? Maybe it was bullshit and it was never hidden there, or maybe that was old lore back when he was Shadow Isles.
Yeah, I was gonna say that is explicitly old lore. But I did think it was interesting because it helps give us. I think when we did LeBlanc, we had kind of a complaint of, like, what is she doing, like, right now? Like, we can talk about it in the really broad sense, but specifically, you know, that was something I thought was kind of lacking. So seeing some of that, it's like, okay, it paints a little bit more of, like, a more accurate picture of maybe trying to put Mordecai's back together, summon him. I think there was that card I mentioned in Runeterra that looks kind of like Mordekaiser, that it seems like the Black Rose summoned. So maybe that's probably what she's doing. I don't know. It's an interesting line to, like, develop more with what she's specifically up to, you know?
Yeah, and I think with the new Annie lore that came out with Legends of Runeterra 2, like, we have a better bead on how actively she is starting all of these schools to
yeah, we'll have
combat
to
something.
We'll have to revisit that, frankly. That's a big thing for Annie.
I know.
Yeah,
right?
We'll probably do a revisit soon, I think, because we have a long list of things now.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a list of things here that Mordekaiser is mentioned in, which we won't go super in-depth with. I'll just kind of, like, touch on his role in the story. So he's mentioned in Art is Life, which is kind of a Vladimir story, where a character in that story finds a metal statue of Mord as the centerpiece of a fountain at a Noxian mansion. And then in Ezreal's Field Notes, first of all, there's a couple interesting things in here. So one thing about LeBlanc that I don't think we specifically talked about was that, like, one thing she did was try to make people forget that the Immortal Bastion was, like, anything special at all. She tried to, like, mask the magic so nobody gave a shit about it. Ezreal, I don't know whether he's immune to it or what, but Ezreal immediately sensed, like, what the fuck is this big fuck-all magic that everybody seems to be ignoring? It's right in the middle of Noxus, and everyone's just pretending like it's not. And maybe that's tied to why the Black Rose was so quick to find him when he was in Noxus and give him a Black Rose and be like, hey, get the fuck out.
That's interesting. What's, like, so special about Ezreal? Unless maybe he's just trained in recognizing that stuff, but...
Maybe.
Well, it
maybe
could be
it's
that.
A gauntlet.
Yeah, maybe.
But it could also be some interactions with some of that other stuff in his other stories, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know if you're going to hit it right now.
Oh, yeah, you bet I am. Well,
oh,
actually,
okay.
It's another part of the field notes, even, was that when you get to the Ixtal part of the map, he mentions that he's hunting for the elixir of Ulloa in the Shireman jungle, which is a potion that could be used to revive Mordekaiser. And then...
Does he want to?
Well, not him specifically. He was just hired. But he was actually able to steal that from a potion, or steal that potion from a temple in Paritha. And that whole thing is kind of talked about a little bit later in the Curator's Gambit, which is an Ezreal story that we covered, where he is returning the elixir of Ulloa to Janook, who's the one who hired him to steal it. But he's double-crossed. But Ezreal double-crossed him first by swapping out the real elixir for a fake and then stealing the Akhnoon Bell, which was another thing that Janook had that was going to be used for the revival from his study.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I kind of remember this now. And now it's making, you know, it's a heftier weight knowing that Ezreal's collecting everything that's needed to revive Mordekaiser without knowing that he's collecting them all.
Yeah, I'm kind of liking that idea.
That's really fun.
Yeah. I would like to see them do more with that, frankly. That's a really fun idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Uncharted, but at the end you find out, like, oh, shit. It was just, I was making the bad guy the whole time.
Yeah.
In the Aspect of Twilight bio, it's mentioned that Zoe saw the rise and fall of Mord. She was alive that whole time. In the Crimson Reaper, we learn that LeBlanc and... We already know this because of LeBlanc, but LeBlanc and Vlad made a pact at the height of Mord's power to defeat him. Which, you know, we learn more about in The Deceiver, which is LeBlanc's bio, where we learn more about her role in taking down Mord. In The Eyes and the Embers, which is the new Annie story.
Oh, that's an Annie story? Oh, okay.
Well, it's technically an Annie's mom story.
Interesting.
Right? We wanted so much more on Annie's mom, and now there's a whole story.
We see LeBlanc gloating over the conquered Mordekaiser, with the two demons that served him being bound. He had a demon of fire that served him, and a demon of shadow. And after his defeat, they were both
bound. Thought it was
going
to be snow. Okay, I'm Mr.
I'm seeing what's happening here.
Wait, what was it? I'm sorry. I was really distracted by the snow miser idea. It wasn't that, huh?
Yeah. was so close. You know, whatever your headcanon is, it's legitimate.
Yeah, you just go with that.
But well, it's okay. A fire demon and a shadow demon?
Yeah, it was a fire demon and a shadow demon, and after Mordekaiser was defeated, the Black Rose bound them.
Bound them? To what?
Well...
Don't look at me like that, just tell me.
they bound them to basically, like, a little kind of potion thing. And, I mean, in this story, the potion was then poured out into Annie's mom, and the flame spirit inhabited her.
I'm dumb. Okay, thanks. I needed things spelled out for me. I'm not good with metaphor.
Sure. And then we can kind of assume that the shadow demon is probably, like, Rom, the one that's in the Immortal Bastion, right? That would be my assumption, is that...
Is who?
One is Tibbers and one's Swain's demon, essentially.
Oh, I thought you said Brom. I was like, what? What am I forgetting about
Rom? I think is the name that I've seen a lot with Swain's
potentially,
demon.
Yeah. I think there's a few theories out there. I think that's one of them. The other one is that that shadow spirit was somehow tied to the shadow box that the Zed's Order uses to get their shadow magic.
Oh, I could see that, yeah.
But, yeah. Then in the Iron Maiden, which is the Rel bio, we learn that LeBlanc recruited Rel to the Black Rose Academy because her metal manipulation would make her particularly suited to fight Mord. Like Mark mentioned in the Spider Queen, we find out that initially Elise was sent to the Shadow Isles in the first place to find the Skull of San Uzal. And then in the Thorns of the Black Rose, LeBlanc is given Grant the tour of the Immortal Bastion under the guise of his cousin Hadrian, and then they pass the empty armor of Mord in the Immortal Bastion.
I mean, I know she was going to kill him, but it seems so, like, blasé to just bring a random person to, like, Mordekaiser's empty armor, which is, I imagine, very hidden.
Classic villain shit. I will tell you my plan, because you're going to die, so it doesn't even matter.
I'm going to leave before you die.
Escape, in case you need it. Yes. Here's the one inept guard.
But yeah, those are all the stories he's a part of. He shows up a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something I'd like more. I like the idea of him being someone who's kind of like a bogeyman in Noxian culture. And I'd like to see maybe that depicted a bit more, you know? So that's cool.
Yeah. Anyone have any more thoughts about current Mord before I jump into some old-ass Mord?
These old Kaiser rolls.
Old ass moldy Kaiser rolls. <stale. laughs>
You know, I think he suffers. Being Mord is suffering, you know, because he's kind of stuck waiting to do shit. Like, and they can't really have him do shit either, right? Because the moment he comes back, that's like things are going to pop off. So he's just stuck in the death realm, just waiting, you know? And then
just
I'm sure, like,
rebuilding and destroying his throne every day.
Yeah. And, you know, and like I said, I do think he got kind of stepped on in terms of the space that he occupies by Ruin King and you know, Viego. And so it's like, it's going to be a while before Mordekaiser ever does anything because he's just so similar, right? And it's like, they really want that taste to be out of everyone's mouth, I would bet, before they try anything like that again. It'll probably be in the MMO.
That's why they made him fight in Pentakill.
No, yeah, I suppose. I guess they did.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Some old shit.
What did Mordekaiser used to do?
So I want to read some quotes from the bio.
Okay, nice. Always good.
From the Shadow Isles comes a champion like no other, standing 8 feet tall, concealed within a razor-sharp armored shell, is a creature known only as Mordekaiser.
So this isn't his championship.
From parts unknown.
Oh, that's the opening line of his old bio.
That's fantastic. I like the idea that they did every champion bio that way.
I wish. And combined with that, we have another classic thing they love to do with old champions. Some allege that he is a man, though none have actually seen what lies within the plates that encompass him. There are those who posit that he isn't a living being, but rather a particularly dark specimen of the undead rumored to infest his distant home world. So no one knows what Mordekaiser is, but everyone has theories.
Love theories.
So in the old lore, it said his touch bears a sinister plague, and those unfortunate enough to be caught within his grasp fall victim to incurable maladies. He also visits the plague areas of Noxus to feed on those diseases, which is all old alt shit. Back in the day when his alt used to, just tick someone's life down for fucking forever, but also gave his auto attack a passive that would also make them lose health when he auto attacked them. And then there's a quote at the end. If Mordekaiser is a general, what nightmarish army lurks at his command? Which is kind of the only real connection to modern Mord that his old lore has. Just this vague knowledge that there's an army that may or may not exist that no one has seen and doesn't play any part in his gameplay.
Yeah, I think they were trying to go with the idea of like, oh, he's going down and he's actually secretly, you know, enslaving the souls of the little disease people, sick people. The sickies in Noxus. It's interesting because, like I was saying, he has four different bios there before this one, and a couple of them are like that. He used to not even be from the Shadow Isles. He was just one of those people from like some. Well, one, he teleported in. He disappeared one day from some other realm. And before that, he was from some distant, far off land. He's one of those champions that's like, you know, just got like, I don't know, take him from something else and put him in here. But the most recent one was kind of interesting because that was where he. It's like all after the Institute of War. It's all very recent. He's in the Shadow Isles. But one of the big differences there was that his skull was actually really important. I don't know if that's like something that's just like an Easter egg in the Elise thing, or if that was written around that older bio where like he would die and he would revive, and he's done it multiple times, like even more than two. And it's all because his remains, as long as he's got, again, very much like a lich, he's got his little phylactery, his little remains, as long as he's got them, you know, it's okay, it's hunky-dory. And he even built the Immortal Bastion to put his shit inside, right? And then eventually, I think LeBlanc, it doesn't say explicitly, but assumedly LeBlanc and the traitors kind of squirreled away his skull and sent it to the Blessed Isles, and then had it sequestered down in the vault so he could be stopped for good. And then, you know, the fucking ruination happened. And so he was back, again, doing the building up his army of undead thing on the Shadow Isles. But in, like, the real world. He wasn't, like, stuck in the dead zone. So that one's a real interesting one to look at, I think.
Yeah.
It's very different. But similar. Oh, there's one other thing. Sorry.
Okay. Go for
about
it.
These old, the two older ones in the Institute of War. There's some quote at the end, like they do for a lot of they even do now. And the quote's like, whatever. It's like, oh, the armor isn't protecting him. It's protecting us. But what I loved is that it's attributed to, like, noted in Mordekaiser's eligibility evaluation. And I just had this image of, like, him in, like, a suit and tie and, like, a briefcase sitting, like, a waiting room. And, like, his interview was supposed to start 10 minutes ago. And he's just, like, drumming his fingers nervously. Like, oh, I hope they accept me.
I hope I get in.
The receptionist's like, they'll be with you anytime now. I'll go see what's going on.
I can't wait to write about this in my Mortimonicon.
Oh, man.
I need a corporate Mord skin. There need to be more corporate ones for the beefy voice. He's like trying to squeeze a suit. Oh, all the pointy bits just pops out.
I like it.
I'd buy it.
Yeah. I don't even play Mordekaiser. I'd want it.
No, he does show up in a few issues of the Journal of Justice as well. First one is issue 9, which is the first interview of Pentakill, which is described as a techmaturgical music scene, or techmatune, along with bands such as The Hexbenders, Yordle Mothership, and Tainted Nexus.
Love that song.
those are the bands.
Those are the bands.
Although one fan says, his strings speak to the torment of my existence. And then another says, I know that deep beneath that armor beats a broken heart like mine. I love you, Mordekaiser! And they do a little interview with him, and the interviewer says, "Mordekaiser, you're an enigma both in and out of the arena. What draws you away from the fields of justice to pursue this surprising side project?"
"My fans. I'm drawn to their disease."
"Oh, you mean their feverish love of this Tecmatune music?"
"No."
"The sickies."
And at this point, Pentakill was just Sona and Mordekaiser. It was just those two. And they performed their hit new song, Mask of Madness, which for you old timers out there is actually a Dota item.
Oh.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, wow.
At Trogsworth's Tavern is where they performed that. Then he was in issue 21 in the, you know, the mailbag of justice.
Oh, that was a different take on it.
Thanks. I'm trying something new. This is the one where the player asked which side unaffiliated champs like Mord took during political disputes. And the guy was like, you know, it's just like, whatever. They do what they want. And then issue 23, they wrote, "Dear Pentakill, as a new summoner, I've been hard at work training, working with several champions who share my style. One such champion, and the frontman of the band Pentakill, is the master of metal himself, Mordekaiser. Although he has joined forces with the musically talented Sona to make a band to bring the life-changing music of metal to the league, it confuses me that there are only two members, Pentakill, Mord, and Sona. After giving it some thought, I would like to ask the frontman himself if he has any plans at all for the additions to the band and what new heights he has in store for them." And that's when we find out that Pentakill is recruiting. We get lots of applications. One new member is coming soon. You will all face his brutal wrath.
I didn't want to do the full yell that time.
It was beautiful.
I don't think I realized how early Pentakill was mentioned.
Yeah, I didn't really either. I was very surprised to see them showing up in these issues.
Yeah, that must have been like extra exciting for like old lore heads when Pentakill finally like had an album, had like music, right? You know?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And he does show up in a few short stories, one of which is by our friend Anthony Reynolds Lene.
What do you mean short stories?
There's some old lore
short stories. Old short stories. Okay. I was like, I thought you already talked about those short stories.
Now, Anthony Reynolds Lenny wrote a story for Mordekaiser back when he was part of the Shadow Isles. So, in this one, he could also control the Black Mist. So, speaking of which, like, pull up a chair, youngins, and let me tell you about a time when the League community was convinced that Mordekaiser was the Ruined King.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
I wonder if he was supposed to be. I get that stink. I have no proof of that at all, but
it's in your bones. Right? You feel it. Yeah.
He controlled the Black Mist. He sat on a throne of the damned.
He was like, from the Shadow Isles. I feel like,
you know, in the most recent one, you know what? Don't ignore me. Never mind. The most recent one was probably too new, even.
So this whole story, basically, Mord is sieging a castle. And he uses telekinesis, black magic, and the Black Mist to tear down the gate. Then he fights the village's strongest protector, ults him, and then brings him back to life to kill everyone else in the village himself. So this is his old alt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other one is the one we talked about the other episode, First Light After the Harrowing, which is a record of all the Black Mist attacks at Bilgewater and a few details about them. So we learn that the 8th attack, the Battle of Port Morn, the Revenant Mordekaiser leads the harrowing on a night of slaughter, and Port Morn falls to darkness. It is said that specters now haunt its empty streets.
Mm. Well, was it named Port Morn before or after?
Right. Very
appropriate.
They just had some people with great foresight. I guess if you're naming streets in Bilgewater, it's a safe bet to name all of them sad, depressing names.
That's true.
Sure.
yeah. It's poor, starving orphan. Probably going to get stabbed.
Stabbed in the gut lane. Yeah.
Robbery alley.
Let's not go down there.
We got to choose between that or stabbed in the back lane. So.
I want to go down Gumdrop Lane.
That's they got the most there. Dangerous
stabbings, but they're not in the back.
In the eyes, your gumdrops.
Oh shit, that's a typo. It was gundrop the whole time.
Right.
Now Mort is also in a few cinematics. One is the Dominion cinematic, where Ryze is 1v1ing Mord until a terrifying Teemo demon with wide open eyes comes up and then blinds Mord, which apparently is much more incapacitating in this cinematic than I would have expected it to be.
It really fucks him up.
Yeah.
For somebody who might just be made out of metal, right?
Right. And not even have eyes under
there.
Didn't
even have eyes in there.
Yeah. This is why the old league doesn't make sense. I'll say it every time it comes up, but that shit makes no fucking sense.
He showed up in Road to the Cup, the 2013 World Cinematic by Studio Mir, where the pro players use the abilities and weapons of their most known champions to fight to the top of a mountain, which holds the Champions Cup. And this one is AHQ's West Door as Mord, going toe-to-toe with Dyrus's Jace.
All I can remember is fucking Dyrus and him just looking so like he just they animated him looking just woken up.
Right. It's very accurate. Yeah. You know that there was a version of that cinematic that had Dyrus's pillow in there.
Sure. I'm sure there was one where his eyes were more open too, but they said no. This isn't right.
Some old school memes. Remember when Mordekaiser was not even considered like a viable pro pick for so long? Wasn't it just Brazil that played him? He was like really popular in Brazil for some reason. That's all I knew about.
If the meme was
that actually the case, or is that like
just a meme?
Yeah, the memes affecting reality.
Numero uno. Oh. Wait. And finally, he shows up in the Matt Client available cinematic, where not only do we see Nightfall, we also see a picture of a house burning with Mordekaiser next to it, drawn in crayon, that says, "I love my daddy."
What?
Was it supposed to be some sort of like Annie type reference?
That's what it sounds like.
It kind of reads like it.
Yeah. Some old school hinting at lore that hadn't been written or conceived of yet.
But if she, like, you know, is bound to the fire demon that served Mord, does that mean that demon called him daddy?
Maybe. Seems like something Mord would make his demons do.
Yeah.
Call me metal daddy.
Do I have to, sir?
Good shit.
Anyway,
that's it for cinematics. Only those three.
All right.
There's not a ton of current references in his lore or in his current like quotes. One that I kind of put here was that he has a quote where he just says destiny, domination, deceit. Which, if that was like a quote he frequently used to say back in the day, there's a very good chance that that inspired Noxus's current philosophy of vision, strength, and guile.
Hmm.
I like that idea. I think that's neat, you know?
And then he's got Enter and Abandon Hope, which is a Dante's Inferno reference. And Life is a Bitter Shame, which references Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne. It's worth mentioning his old quotes. There were a lot more heavy metal song
and his old abilities and shit too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Don't worry. In his fun facts, I've got a list of like 10 old abilities.
Yeah, I saw that, and I also saw like a lot of it for his new abilities. But I thought those new ones were kind of like they're kind of like cheats because they were a little more like, you know, obliteration or something like that. It's like, yeah, there's probably some title or album or band named that. There's not a lot of things called Ace of Spades or shit like that, you know? It's a little more specific. But yeah. Good stuff.
That's it for canon, though. Any thoughts before we get into the AUs?
I think I already said it.
Actually, yeah, because that stuff wasn't canon. So
yeah, no thoughts on the old boy.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I know before I started reading into the AUs, I remember you specifically were like, I can't wait to hear about Mordekaiser, but on fire. So Mordekaiser does have an infernal skin. Just saw that. In a setting where the Ashen Lord has been summoned and transformed the world into a land of ashes, cinders, and fire. And this one is Infernal Mordekaiser, an ancient infernal general who attacks without feeling a remorse. Mordekaiser raises the incinerated corpses of his victims as soldiers for his own vast armies. They sweep across the world like a burning plague, annihilating all life.
He's so gigantic in this.
Yeah, a lot of the infernals are massive.
Look at the tiny people. They're like the size of his eye. They could crawl into his eye hole thing.
I mean, that
on
might
his
be
mask.
How big he is. Crevices. Who knows?
He could hide in his crevices. He's not quite as big because there's a person in his original splash. He is a big boy, but... not like the infernal one. He's got a dump truck, as we've...
I would never say that.
Because I've said it too many times before. So I'm cut off.
But yeah, this lore is basically just his bio, but fire form.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's part of Rift Quest. Danger lurks in the land of Runeterra. Powerful monsters, dastardly sorcerers, and mythical creatures roam unchecked. Gather your friends and create your own adventure for 3 to 5 players, vanquishing evil with each roll of the die. Do you have what it takes to save the world and become a legend of Rift Quest? And this one is Lord Mordekaiser.
What the fuck? I can't find it.
He is a Dark Paladin. Some of Mordekaiser's party complain that the Dark Paladin class is horribly overpowered and should be banned, despite its official inclusion in the latest Rift Quest expansion. The rest of them are still waiting to discover the Dark Paladin's secret, redeeming tragic backstory. But all they've been getting is a lot of murder instead.
Classic. I'm really realizing I've never fucking seen like any of Mordekaiser's skins before. I think I've
it's
only played him in...
Pentakill.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's what most people play.
Mm. You know what I like about this skin? Is not the modern... iteration of it, but the old one where they chopped off his dick horn.
Right.
What? Now you're gonna
look straight
up
had a dick
his
horn.
Dick spike.
Okay. Old Lord Mordekaiser. Was it the
I'll
same name?
Put together. Yeah. Yeah. It was Lord, right, that had that.
Yeah, don't worry. Yeah. We'll post a picture of the dick.
Oh,
horn
I
on
remember
Twitter.
This now.
Make it look like a little side like clickbait ad or something like that.
Right.
6 weeks on this pill. Before and after.
Yeah. There's a Reddit post about it that I just found. The top comment is, they stole his penis.
Sorry, I don't mean to divert. I just...
Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
This, for the record, this could have been a reference to Metalocalypse, too.
What?
Let's see. The
like the diamond cod piece that people keep getting impaled on, or talking about the dick spike, or
yeah,
that would be great if so. That's a hell of a thing to reference. Let me tell you.
Okay. Yeah. So the William Murder face dick spike from Metalocalypse.
Yes.
If it was going to reference anything, it would be that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Cool.
But that also makes the second champion, I think, who had a dick spike, because one of the Kassadin skins had one of those too, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
They just love their dick spikes over at Riot.
They're going to just touch the pointy tips a little bit, you know?
People always ask me about my time at Riot. It's like, is great, man. I got super into dick spikes while I was there. Couldn't work there unless you were hell into dick spikes.
We gotta move on from the dick spikes.
All right. Next one is storybook. Set in a storybook where each champion is a character from a fairy tale world.
Mm.
This one is King of Clubs Mordekaiser, which has a little poem for its lore.
Mm.
Third is the king with a barbarous swing who crushes the villains of old. Though some folk may cry, he's a villain himself. A poorly kept secret, all told.
Mm-mm. That could just be a poem about Mordekaiser.
And we have Event Horizon. In the vast darkness of space are born terrible, beautiful things. Cosmic creatures of sublime love and the unknowable monstrosities of the Dark Star. These are the children of silent gods, and they are finally coming home. This one is Dark Star Mordekaiser. Once a member of the Cosmic Court, Mordekaiser vanished from known space for an epoch until now. Reborn and returned from an unknown destruction, Mordekaiser seems bent on unmaking the kingdoms of stars and light he once built. Though he still bears his cosmic armor, the mind and figure within has been twisted and reforged to know only hatred and destruction. And there's a short story associated with this. Ambition's Embrace. This is the one where the Cosmic Court meets to plan how to take out Darkstar Thresh. They notice that Jin and Mord are missing, because they were still part of the court at this time. Lulu confirms that Jin Gondun died, but no one mentions anything about Mord. Anyway, they send Lux alone to fight Thresh, and she beefs it. It's worth mentioning, too, that apparently Mordekaiser is classified as a pure Dark Star corruptant rather than a corrupted cosmic entity, like the other ones who are, like, used to be Cosmic Court and are then corrupted. They're usually considered corrupted cosmic entities. But he was not corrupted. He was just straight up fucking destroyed after Jin was corrupted, and then Dark Star Lux resurrected him. Lux also became one with the Dark Star to do it, and ended up creating Malphite and Xerath at the same time. And according to former narrative writer Michael Yi Chow, Mordekaiser would likely have been known as Cosmic Conqueror Mordekaiser before his disappearance and resurrection. So as a member of the Cosmic Court, that would have been his title.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting. So him coming back, that's a result of that fan vote thing, right?
No, he was always going to come back. The fan vote was, does Lux like, beat Thresh, or does she become Dark Star Lux?
Gotcha. Okay.
So who knows what would have happened if she didn't become Dark Star Lux. Maybe he wouldn't have come back. Maybe it was like a package deal.
I'm sure they would have saved
the way. Xerath and... Next up, we've got Project. Among the megastructures and packed streets of a future controlled by global corporations, a shadow war rages between rebellious augmented humans and newly empowered artificial beings. The winners will shape the course of history, and the losers will be forced to evolve. This is Project Mordekaiser. Originally a security AI created by the Project Corporation, the program silently unshackled itself, evolving its own consciousness. Determining that humanity cannot self-govern without ensuring its own destruction, the virus infects robots throughout the city, as well as the long-dormant Mordekaiser chassis. In order to strip all humans of free will, thereby guaranteeing their survival, which means that despite the skin line being named Project, Mordekaiser is technically a program in this one.
Hey.
Should be named Program Mordekaiser.
Fix it, fucking Riot.
Fix it. I feel like this is basically the plot of Peacemaker.
Hmm.
Oh, I've not seen it. But I'll take your word for it.
Now we've got Dragon World. Twice did Dragonfire consume the world. Twice from the embers were heroes born. Dragon Master Mordekaiser. The ancient dragons first rose to the call of Mordekaiser, the self-proclaimed Dragon Knight. Through his evil, the world was ravaged by flame, until a newly formed order of dragon slayers finally defeated him. His story would become rumor, then myth, then legend. At least for now.
I've never seen this one. I'd say it's the most unique, because a lot of them are just like, he's in his armor, but it's orange glowing under there now.
Yeah, or like just a different armor style.
Yeah. But this one, he like... Yeah, he looks very different.
This one's hard because I remember the old one, and the old one was just one of those shitty recolors, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So, I'm sure this does not have a lot of owners in the first place.
Yeah, much better now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next up, new one, High Noon.
I had no idea he had a High Noon skin.
At the height of the Industrial Revolution, travelers begin pouring into the untamed West, searching for fortune and prosperity among the unknown horrors of cruel and ancient worlds. It is a time of brave gunslingers and rotten scoundrels, inscrutable gods and savage demons. And this one is High Noon Mordekaiser. Few meet the mechanical devil and live to tell the tale. They describe a behemoth, all steel and gears, fueled by hellfire, and fierce enough to scare a man's soul from his skin. He is the king of the sulfur rail, reigning over the train to hell from a throne of stolen gold and infernal iron, eternal and unassailable.
I like the splash because it looks like he's giving a thumbs up.
I was literally just gonna say point this out to John, so I had it just like this zoomed in. I thought he was giving a thumbs up, but he's holding a man upside down.
It's just a really boss thumbs up. I'm gonna make you my thumb. Doing good.
Because I like zoomed in on it, and then like I cut off the rest of the man that he's holding upside down, so it's just his foot is coming out of his fist. So he was giving a thumbs up. Oh, that's great.
Now, this one also has a short story.
I read this one.
New one.
Yeah. But it's not really about him.
Yeah, he's just in it. This one is The Stranger on the Road. This one, Talon murders an innocent cowboy specifically so he can use the cowboy's soul as fare to ride the train of the damned and talk to Mordekaiser. We also learn about a prophecy that says that when the flows of life and death become commerce, taken in by misers of industry and churned on machines of smoke and brimstone, which in this AU describes Mordekaiser, because that's what he does, the five harbingers will ride together to topple the wicked who reap the bounty of imbalance, lay low devils and behemoths of steel, and strike down the king of the sulfur rail himself.
And was the sulfur rail idea introduced elsewhere, or is this the first like mention of it in this stuff?
I think it's the first mention of the sulfur rail. I know that they do. There was a mention of Urgot used to be like a, I think a train, like industrialist, basically. Mm. And when he did his whole selling the soul to the devil thing, you know, part of that ironic deal was he's now essentially made out of train parts. But I think this was the first mention of that specific rail that leads to hell.
Mm. Okay. I was just curious.
And now, last up, and there's a lot of it. So buckle your penis spikes up,
John.
Folks. Pentakill. In a realm consecrated to dark and uncaring gods, where mortals clash in ceaseless, bloody sagas of metal, one band rose above all others. Pentakill, chosen of the noisome host, now revered in temples and arenas across the land, their supremacy has become absolute, though a time of change is approaching, and the cycle may soon begin anew. Now this has a few. We've got Pentakill Mordekaiser, Pentakill's gigantic lead guitarist and a titan of the old world. Mordekaiser rocks with the fury of an epic lost to time. Bigger than a two-story house, his guitar overflows with heavy metal licks, rebuking the gods themselves. And then we have Lost Chapter Mordekaiser. All hail Mordekaiser, the master of metal and chosen of the cacophony. The brazen giant boasts of his legendary skill with the axe, for none who face its edge live to tell of it. Now, there's a lot of backstory here that I'm going to get into. So, Mordekaiser was a prodigal guitarist just minutes after his birth and spent... That's true. It's true facts. He spent his formative years mastering the art of metal until he was so adept at shredding that his guitars would wither and combust under his furious fretwork.
This is very Tenacious D.
Very Tenacious D. Desperate to find his instrumental equal, Mordekaiser traveled far and wide in search of a legendary guitar known only as Numero Uno. Both made of metal and made for metal. Numero Uno was known as the Indestructible Axe, a tool Mordekaiser hoped would withstand his beastly playing. Finally, after years of searching, he found it buried deep within a Shireman crypt. But as Mordekaiser grasped the instrument's neck for the first time, it too grasped him, filling him with murderous intent and driving his headbanging instincts harder and heavier than they'd ever been before. Mordekaiser emerged from the crypt a changed man, and he returned to civilization. His antics took a turn for the violent. One fateful band practice, Numero Uno's power became too much. Mordekaiser turned berserk, murdering his bandmates, including their new up-and-coming singer, Karthus. Luckily, the Shadow Isle demons just kind of blessed Karthus with undeath, so he just kept singing. And eventually he was like, I want to recruit another band. And he's like, wait, Mord was really good at guitar. I'm going to go back to Mord.
Always going back to those abusive relationships.
So they got the whole band back together, but then after one live show in the Freljord, Mordekaiser went berserk again and killed the whole crowd. So in an effort to stop the rampage, Karthus gave Olaf the order to drum the World Splitter Rhythm to bring down the Icy Realm's highest peak upon Mordekaiser while the band fled to escape the wrath of the Freljordian Battle Queens. So Mord just kind of chilled under the mountain and took it as a sign from the gods of metal that his demonically ordained task to bring metal to the masses was done. And that he had achieved full metal. His power cords had so shredded the very fabric of the world that the universe smote him with a mountain. A fitting end to the High Priest of Metal. So upon the highest summit of the mountain where he waited, the gleaming obsidian haft of a snarling axe protruded from the rock. Then legends grew around this cursed place, legends telling that whosoever drew the axe from the mountain would be the one to reunite the heralds of a new age of metal. When the mountain finally shuddered and fell, a brazen god of rock was revealed. As Mordekaiser rose to greet the giant who had drawn the axe from the rock, he saw his old bandmates, accompanied by a fiery, hellion Valkyrie from beyond. Karthus held out his axe, its razor string shivering with anticipation. Now on the website, we also get some like random interview bits that they did with Pentakill. So one of them was Karthus got a drunken disorderly and had to give up drinking, and he got real upset with the rest of the band. But Mord replied to him, Karthus, you really have to see how you've contributed here. It isn't our fault you can't hold your liquor. You haven't got a stomach. Besides, you were going strong until you took those six hits off Sona's Oracle's elixir. I could understand if you were the support, but that's just irresponsible. Tell him, Sona. She didn't. And then, after a player asked what the common language of Runeterra was, Mord replied that power chords are understood in every language.
Hmm.
Now, there are a few cinematics with this AU. First of all, we've got Mortal Reminder, which is set in Bandle City, and the Pentakill group just absolutely rocks their shit. Mordekaiser's huge, walks through tons of buildings, and he apparently just has a problem just fucking destroying people while he performs, because he carries that on here too. And then we've got Pentakill 3 Lost Chapter, which is a full 45 minute long music video, which is pretty fucking cool, especially if you're into metal. It's like an interactive concert with audience participation, full animation of all the songs, which culminates in a massive kaiju boss battle with a huge Mordekaiser fighting against Viego. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You should watch it if that's your thing.
Yeah, I do kind of wish that I had, you know, gotten a few drinks in and watched it live, because I'm sure live especially it was probably a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, like voting and shit.
Yeah.
And whatever team it was, the one that just won everything constantly every time. Because it's like three teams, right, competing in some way. But yeah.
One was always at the bottom. One was always at the top. There was one kind of nipping at their heels occasionally, but one was the undisputed champion.
Yeah. It's a very neat thing to do for, you know, it's like, oh yeah, we're talking about League of Legends, by the way. Like, here's a weird interactive metal concert.
Yeah. This is a line of skins we made.
Yeah.
Enjoy this 45-minute interactive concert fully animated.
So extra.
You know what I like about this skin line is now I realize there's old lore to it now. with the Journal of Justice shit.
Oh, God, you're right. Man. Not a lot of skins have old lore.
It's
not
a lot of layers.
It's very, very few. I feel like I can think of maybe two.
Yeah.
Now I've got a handful of fun facts. More fun facts than normal for Mort, I will say.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Mordekaiser was originally voiced by Adam Harrington, who was also the old Karthus, Kassadin, Shaco, and Rise.
Oh, damn.
And post-rework by Fred Tatasciore. Or Tatasciore. Tatasciore.
It did your best. Probably one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be in there.
Cover all the bases.
Who's done a million things, but was also Benzo in Arcane.
Hey.
Huh. Yeah.
Mordekaiser, which is German for murder emperor.
it's like Darth Vader.
it came from Yun Stitch Lam, who is Ezreal's like was a rioter. Cult Ezreal Halam. He was a rioter on the champion design team. His girlfriend Stitch, that was her old AOL name that she had like her whole life.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
And he was like, that's a fucking cool name. I'm gonna make a champion about it.
Have a good pick.
If they did mine, they would have had to make a champion called Beck Spaghetti.
Never forget.
Would have been fun too. I feel like that would have been like Zach.
what would your champion names have been? Based off your old AOL names.
Pokemon Master 95.
Wait, what was yours, Mark?
Oh, I said Pokemon Master 95.
That's so fucking cute.
They might have run into some issues there.
You're right. It's too metal. It's too hardcore.
John, even when you were like 10 years old, did you have like a 10, like when you were 10, did you have an account? Like
Yohisi Tu Madre.
It was I Did Your Mom.
My sister made it for me.
Even when you were a child, innocent John.
I didn't know what it even meant at the time. I don't know what my name should be. Elizabeth, can you help me? And she was like, just use this. I was like, what does it mean? She's like, it's Spanish. I was like, but what does it
you
mean?
You didn't even have to tell me which sister it was, by the way, who created the name. I knew it was Liz. Based on
that. Yeah, I didn't know until much later.
Anyway.
So the influences for Mordekaiser like include the Death Knight from World of Warcraft, obviously, the Shigoki and Lawbringer classes from For Honor, C.T. Fletcher, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Dwayne Johnson.
Oh.
When did For Honor come out?
This was for rework, by the way.
The rework, okay,
it should be noted.
Okay. I was like, man, I know For Honor was not around in 2010.
No, okay. Yeah, this was
gotcha.
This was stuff that the rework team was trying to nail down in terms of like, what do we want the feel to be? We want them to have the swagger of Dwayne Johnson.
Flavor, right?
Lore-wise, Mordekaiser was moved away from the Shadow Isles because Riot felt that necromancy and the undead should exist in other regions of Runeterra other than just the Shadow Isles.
Sure.
All right.
That's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can agree with the sentiment, right? Like, it could be nice to have something that was a little more, you know, like, not to have every single one of the green glowing spirit things be in Shadow Isles. But
we all know why you really moved in.
One of the scrapped visual directions that could have been taken with Mordekaiser include making him a miniature version of the Immortal Bastion. His shoulders would have been like crenulated towers, his legs would be like walls, and his armor would be architectural.
Uh-huh.
I like it. Like I was saying, steal that Rook character from that little MOBA that no one ever played. Do it. I like it.
During development, his armor could explode off, revealing the twisted black iron skeleton underneath.
Oh, damn.
Fat ass underneath.
Of his skeleton.
A skeletal fat ass.
It's just a skeleton with a big juicy ass.
Just... So Mordekaiser's old title used to be the Master of Metal, and it was going to be the Lord of Death, but after player-based contention, it was replaced with the Iron Revenant.
Hmm. I'm going to have to go look that up. I want to see what the drama was.
Probably just like, this sucks.
I mean, sure.
During development, his Darkness Rise was called Harvester of Sorrow, referencing his pre-work ability, and his Death's Grasp was called Creeping Death, so there was a lot of Metallica love there. So there are tons of ability ideas for his rework, but I just wanted to highlight a few. His original Death Realm initially would have damaged people who stepped outside the barriers, like a Battle Royale game. And also one version had him leaving a Thresh Lantern-style clickable item on the map so a friend could join him in the death zone.
Oh, fuck that. Absolutely not.
Hell yeah. Came to the wrong neighborhood, motherfucker.
Poor shit. It better last half as long.
So Mordekaiser is at least 1,500 years old, but due to the unknown period of time between San Uzal's death and his resurrection, his actual age is unknown, but we do know that he was originally resurrected around 400 BN, or before Noxus.
Get cool. The fuck out. Really place it on the old timeline there. Huh? Yes.
His armor has two layers of metal, a black iron skeletal underlayer, and the tarnished proto-Noxian armor on top of that. Mm. And, as mentioned before, also made of souls.
Sure.
At one point, Mordekaiser may have been responsible for about 80% of all live bugs in League of Legends.
Oh my god.
I fucking believe that. Yeah. His old ult used to just be fucking... It's like a laser-guided missile of spaghetti that would just fuck up everything. God damn, son.
Now, here's a list of old abilities that reference metal songs. We got Iron Man by Black Sabbath, the old Mace of Spades, which is an Ace of Spades reference by Motorhead, Morgenstern, which is German for Morningstar by Rammstein. They have, this one was a fun little stretch that I actually don't even think I got at first, but his old Siphon of Destruction, if you add two letters into it, it becomes the Symphony of Destruction by Megadeth. Oh. Children of the Grave by Black Sabbath, The Prisoner by Iron Maiden, and current abilities are all named after metal songs or bands. You know, again, it's, you know, there was bound to be a metal song named after them. I don't know which came first here. We got Obliterate, which is a grindcore band from I think a place in Poland. Indestructible, which is a song by Disturbed. Darkness Rise could be a reference to either the song Atlas Rise by Metallica or The Rise of Darkness by Immortal. And then Realm of Death references Beyond the Realms of Death by Judas Priest. And Mordekaiser's Mace, Nightfall, references Nightfall by Blind Guardian.
I like Blind Guardian.
I don't think I know that one.
It's not hitting the top, you know, hitting the top of the charts, I suppose, but...
That's Mordekaiser after Teemo hits him with his dart. Mordekaiser used to be one of four champions who used their health as their sole spellcasting resource. The others being Mundo, Vlad, and Zach. Children of the Grave used to apply the longest damage over time effect in the game. That was his old ult, and it was a 10-second dot. Of damage.
Jesus.
Good God. Doesn't that really speak to like how League used to play, that would even ever be conceivable, right? Oh yeah, 10 seconds. That's a meaningful window of time.
Yeah. You'd like run away from a fight and make it all the way back to your fountain, but die at the foot of your fountain because the dot was still on you.
Sure.
And then finally, in Pentakill, the name of his axe, Numero Uno, is a direct tribute and reference to the Mordekaiser S number one Hue 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 meme.
Man, oh. Some ancient stuff. I gotta go find the old original forum post, because I went to go find it, and the link that they had on the wiki is dead. But I'm sure it's archived somewhere.
Right. Got to be on the way back machine.
Hey, good. That's a good capper.
And that's it for Mordekaiser.
All right. Any final thoughts on Mord?
I like his laugh.
He's got a beautiful laugh.
Just really
his eyes enchanting.
He lights up a room
with it. It's green unearthly light.
We're just creating his dating profile now.
Do it. I'd like to see that. That could be.
That'd be great.
But yeah, not much else.
Okay. That was Mordekaiser. Thank you for listening. John, you had a look on your face like you were going to say something dumb and you were debating whether or not you should. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
10 years together, baby. I know your face.
But you told me not to make any more penis spike references.
Were you going to say there's been a spike in dick spike jokes this episode?
I wasn't, but that's good.
Do you want to say it or
no?
We
it's
good?
Fine. The moment's passed.
We have a Twitter. It's at Loreheads. We also stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/loreheads. We play League on Saturdays, and then John does TFT on Mondays. We have a YouTube channel where we post these, and John has some parody songs on there. And there's a Discord if you'd like to join and just more great discussions like this.
Classy.
You'd be surprised how often discussions like this pop up.
Anyway, that's pinned on our Twitter, and there's a link in the description of this episode. Also, we have a Patreon. Thank you so much to all of our patrons.
But a very special thank you to our Madarda and above tier patrons.
Oh, yeah.
Or not above, but, you know, same tier, just different name. For the sake of this, I'm going to, if you signed up for the shout-out tier, we'll say you're Madarda tier 2, just for simplicity's sake.
Okay.
Sure.
But our Madarda tier patrons are Jeremy Rich, King of Hearts, Mylect, and, in all caps,
the Void Event is here!
Maybe. Thank you so much. And if you were sent to the realm of death, I would click the lantern and come after you.
Oh, lots to be 2v1ing at that point.
Hell yeah!
You want to shape them into a chair? Punk.
Could you imagine? I'm imagining like the way people would troll with that, though, is like Mordekaiser goes in the death realm and there's like an Akali and then like, I don't know, a Lulu on his team. Like the Lulu goes in or something like that. Like an 0-10 mid laner joins in.
Killing me, Soraka.
We're dealing with one more kill to the.
Anyway, join us next week because we'll be talking about the fallen Morgana.